When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
But I also want you to know that candidate 1A for me and the University of Nebraska was always Matt Rhule from the beginning. And so we're really glad that we ended at that point.
So as people ask me why, I am here because this is the right fit. It's the right time. And if I have one message for you, we can absolutely do it. We can absolutely get the University of Nebraska and University of Nebraska football exactly where it's supposed to be. It will be hard. It may take time, but it will be done.
A process-oriented individual. Details matter. As you think about the Big Ten Conference and where we're going, and how USC and UCLA and perhaps others someday come into our league, and the level of coaching that's going to happen in the Big Ten, attention to details and process are going to be really, really important to our future.
Hello and welcome again to another edition of the Husker Online Show. It's been a little over a week since we've last talked to you, and it's been quite a week in Husker land. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washut. Obviously, Nebraska gets the win in Iowa, claiming the Heroes Trophy for the first time since 2014, but that literally seems like it was 5 years ago. Matt Rhule was named head coach on Saturday. You heard sound there from both Trev Alberts, Nebraska's athletic director, and Rhule at Monday's introductory press conference. Matt Rhule now in the process of finalizing his coaching staff. Six of his 11 full-time hires have been made when you count the strength coach, and one of the key ones that we thought was going to be a part of this staff was Mickey Joseph. And obviously that leads me to where the story has turned. Mickey Joseph, as you know, was involved in a domestic incident at his home in Lincoln and was arrested by Lincoln police on Wednesday. And here we are Thursday taping this show. The details of the report came out. We're not going to get into that stuff on the show, guys, but it's been quite a week, Steve. You've been around a long time. I think we were expecting or thought there was a good chance Mickey was going to be a part of this coaching staff at Nebraska.
I didn't think that.
I mean, well,
did you really think that? I didn't think he was going to be part.
Okay, let's go back like 2 weeks ago. We're like, okay, Mickey will always be. Mickey's going to be here. But you were with me when we talked to Mickey Saturday, and the tone of that conversation, his wants and needs to stay were going to be high. Like he wanted, a fairly sizable, I think, financial commitment to stay at Nebraska.
Yeah.
Right now, he's making $600,000. The highest paid wide receivers coach in college football makes $850,000. Mm-hmm. He wanted significantly more than that. Let's just say that.
Yeah. I was surprised you said what you did. I thought on Saturday he wouldn't be part of it.
There was a point, though, when we looked at potential retaining coaches. Like, he was the clear number one.
I'm saying
that's where the conversation
when this thing started, everyone's like, okay.
Like, if they were going to keep a guy, he would be for obvious
reasons.
That's
for sure.
It was Mickey and who, and now it's who?
Nobody.
Well, I thought on Saturday, I thought it changed in my mind on Saturday. Then I thought, I don't think
you heard. I mean, we were in here together, and yeah. I mean,
and I just thought the way Mickey was talking, not only Saturday, but Friday after the game, I thought then I started shifting on Friday after the game based on what Mickey said. That I'll be okay. I can find a job. Somebody's going to hire me. And then, I mean, not only what you were hearing from Mickey on the record, but even the stuff you were hearing off the record. I thought by Friday night, I'd be surprised if Mickey's going to be in that discussion for the next staff. And then Saturday when we heard him, when you had him on speakerphone, then I was really. I thought, okay, this probably isn't
it didn't feel like he wanted it to work. I mean, because the demands of what he would have wanted to stay, it wasn't feasible in the structure of Matt Rhule's staff.
Right. That's a good way
to put it. He wanted to become essentially one of the highest paid assistants in all of college football, and that just wasn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they could have probably paid Mickey around $900 and been good right there.
Ooh.
$800-$900?
Yeah.
$800-$900.
Give the associate head coach title, what you justify it a little bit more, and
and say you're the highest paid receivers coach in the country.
But I don't know if Mickey would have took that, accepted that.
And then he had some other things trying to go, whether it was Tulsa or Tulane.
Yeah, it looks like he had Tulsa in, and mm-hmm. he was part of that.
And then Miami, obviously, there's some potential opportunity there.
As an assistant. Yeah.
But back to the story, what happened with Mickey now in this situation? I mean, unfortunately, we've been around a lot of these types of, not like this, but just drama and situations like this over the years. And this was unfortunate. I mean, just the way it played out, it was almost kind of like, no way, no way. Like, I almost couldn't believe the story as it came down the pipes and how quickly it hit the news cycle.
Oh, my God. What reinforced is we're in pretty, it feels like we're always in kind of a small town. How quickly it spread the news.
What happened
before there was a news release mm-hmm. from LPD, from the Lincoln Police Department? Man,
within an hour, like it was everywhere.
It's amazing. This is a small town.
Reading the police report, like the timing, like I got a text apparently within the hour that he was arrested.
Guys, Wilderness.
That's exactly what I mean.
Wilderness Hills neighborhood. I lived there for 12, 13 years. And if something like that's going on in there, a lot of people are going to find out about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of people that work from home, stay at home moms.
Good point. And everybody knows where everybody lives. So if something happens at coach's house, everybody knows it's a coach's house.
Yeah, and the world's set up now for news to travel fast. The world is set up that way. I mean, it travels fast on social media. Mm-hmm. I would tell you that it was very jarring. I mean, when you started to hear, when it started to be evident that this is serious, think about Mickey. Think about how beloved a figure he became here in such a short time. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did hold the program together, and he became someone who people thought could be the head coach.
Extremely likable when you're around him.
Yeah, but he became beloved. And a lot of people thought that could be your next head coach, or should be your next head coach. So he really won over the fan base to a large degree. And then, boom, now all of this is on your phone. And you see it on Twitter. You've seen stuff on Twitter. People aghast. Before the news even comes out, before the official news comes out, it was really jarring.
And for LPD to put out a release on a domestic, they don't normally do that. But obviously because of the high nature of this case, it was probably smart they did. Could you imagine if they didn't put anything out? The rumors already got bad.
I will tell you what would happen if they didn't. I was very surprised that people on my radio show were critical of LPD for putting that out. I would tell those people, do you know what would happen if they didn't put that out? Do you know how many reporters would descend on Mickey's house? You know how many reporters? And you know what? John Q. Public would be there trying to figure out what.
Driving around.
Yeah. I mean, that's the nature of this situation, but I guarantee you there have been reporters there. Now, what would that be like for his family to have a bunch of reporters
doing stand-ups?
Yeah, at people driving by. That I guarantee you, if LPD didn't put that release out, tell me that wouldn't happen, because people would have been in the dark then. What has happened?
Mm-hmm. Well, just think about the gap between the affidavit mm-hmm. and the arrest mm-hmm. before the true details of the arrest came out. I mean, there were about 35 different stories that came out about what happened.
Right.
Then the affidavit kind of spells it out. I mean, we're not going to get into the details.
I would praise LPD for how quickly they moved on putting that release out. That quelled what could have been a very, very awkward situation. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're exactly right. And because it would have taken on an even bigger life of its own. And
exactly.
So now there's actual factual details out there, you know, that at least steadies the storm, so to speak,
no doubt,
to where, you know, this thing didn't turn out to full-blown anarchy.
Right. And we talk about why this is a tough place to coach, situations like this. Mm-hmm. Because, it's a crime no matter where it happens, but if it happened in Manhattan, Kansas.
Or Detroit.
Or Manhattan, Kansas, or Ames, Iowa. Is the media and the fan base going to be like to the point where everybody around the whole state's talking about it within an hour of the incident happening? So, I mean, just as Bill Callahan once said, the obsession with this football team here, like this story. I mean, everybody wanted a version of it, wanted to spread the story around. I mean, it was.
Well, let's be honest, though, Sean. It's not like we curtail the obsession.
I mean, that's what we make our living on.
Right. No, the reason we're doing this.
Right, we have a job. It's why thousands of people watch our shows, listen to our shows. But no, it got off the rails quick.
But again, LPD kind of in its own, in a sense, kept it on the rails because it could have got really wild. It was bad enough, and it's.
Well, just think about when the news broke last night to where they finally released the police report or mm-hmm. the incident report. Just how much speculation and rumor had taken off from there, from that less than 24-hour stretch. Like, I mean, there was some crazy rumors going on out there. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I mean, just imagine if everybody was in the dark on that.
Right.
And people were trying to figure out any morsel of information. Like, it would have gotten outrageous.
Yeah. So we should touch on, it's obviously like a horrific thing for the family, for their family, the immediate family. But I would say the ripple effect is big too, because we are kind of one big family, you know, that Husker family. There's a ripple impact that goes all over the state.
Yeah. Like, what's Matt Rhule thinking?
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, he's here for 2-3 days.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it'd be hard. I mean, no, it's not. I wouldn't laugh because here's why. Because there's a lot of players on the team that had close relationship with Mickey. A lot of those guys don't come from great backgrounds. He was a father figure. That's a father figure, okay? We always say that. I mean, we say it. These coaches are father figures. Well, they're father figures. Now, their father figure is in jail, okay? That don't think that has that doesn't have a small impact on some of those kids, on some of them, not all of them, but some of them. It's not easy at all.
Well, even from the state's perspective, I mean, Nebraska fans have endured a lot of embarrassment over the years, and it just reminds me of like that meme from The Office where Jim Halpert's holding up the board and says has a box. It says days since our last nonsense, and you have to keep erasing it and setting it to zero. Like, days since Nebraska wasn't embarrassed in the national headlines. Erase it. Yeah. Put it at zero because they're right back there.
Yeah, good point.
Robert. All right, guys. Well, lots to hit on with Matt Rhule and this hiring. We haven't even gave our thoughts on Matt Rhule yet. So,
They hired a coach.
Yeah. By the way, yeah.
And they beat Iowa. See, it's unfortunate. Yeah. I mean, they beat Iowa and hired a coach. You don't even talk about it.
$74 million coach. Heroes Trophy win, and we haven't even hit on that. But next segment, I want to hit on the hire itself, maybe the staff and the money piece. We got a big show on tap here. We'll hit on that next. You're listening to Husker Online Show.
Hi, it's Sean Callahan with Husker Online. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones and see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
Just it was a game day. Everyone was playing, so we were able to kind of fly in on our own.
Husker game day?
Yeah, it was a Husker game day. So we were able to fly in, and everyone was at the game. So
was it warm or cold?
we were able to do that, and then we kind of, you know, then we got away for a while. You know, we had a trip planned, and Julie and I went away for a while, and because we just didn't want momentum to take over. We didn't want this whatever decision we made to be a decision of emotion, and it was so we got away for a little bit.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Robin Washett, Steve Sipple. That was Matt Rhule talking about the secret visit. And by the way, it was the Illinois game that he came, not the Minnesota game.
Whoa, really?
And that was in Mitch Sherman and Max Olson's detailed account of kind of things. And they did a great job on The Athletic. Mitch and Max, guys we've known a long time. Excellent story they put together kind of on just the behind the scenes and the process of hiring Matt Rhule. But before we get to that, guys, this segment brought to you by Tanner Sports Bar and Grill. Get on in there. If I can get away, I might try to watch some of that Big Ten championship game there this weekend. Great place to watch NFL football, college football, Nebraska volleyball. All these games evidently are going to be streamed on ESPN+.
Wow.
Tanner's will have them. So get on into Tanner Sports Bar, 30th Yankee Hill Road. They get big crowds for the volleyball game. So if you're going to go, make sure you get in there early.
They do.
Because they'll fill up the place. There'll be 300 people in there because a lot of people don't have ESPN+. So, you don't have ESPN. You might have to go to Tanner Sip.
I do have ESPN.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I was trying to. I'm impressed. Yeah. Do you know how to work it?
Not very. Yeah. Sean continues with this jag of that I lack sophistication. I'm going to I'm going to be like running Apple here pretty soon.
Okay. just don't ask them to transfer your contacts. Okay.
All right, let's get back into
Matt Rhule.
Rhule.
Let me tell you, very impressive, first of all. I mean, and that's what you'd expect from a guy in his shoes, what he's done. But seeing him talk, seeing him present, I don't know if there's ever been a better presenter of Nebraska football on the stage.
It's a good way to put it.
The way he captivated the room. And I tweeted during the thing, I go, well, you're not going to have to worry about Matt Rhule not giving an opening statement at Big Ten Media Days.
Mm-hmm. You know what? You know what I'll never do, guys, is again, I'll never do this the rest of my career. I will not say the press conference doesn't matter. I mean, I that's something you say sometimes, like, don't worry about the opening press conference. It doesn't matter. It can matter. I mean, it mattered in this point.
It mattered this week.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Why do you say that?
Because there were so many fans that were on the fence, and we just talked about a guy that a lot or a good portion of the fan base wanted as their head coach that was not named their head coach. And so Matt Rhule and Trev Alberts, they had to sell this thing. Like, he can't come up there and just, you know, say some cliches and get out of there. Like, he had to deliver that message and do so with confidence and authority. And he did that.
He did.
You can see that he is the son of a preacher. Like, he owned that podium.
He
owned the room. And people were buying into what he was saying. So I think that there was probably some fans that maybe had been a little iffy on Matt Rhule. And then they watched that. And they listened to what he had to say and how he said it. And maybe came out of that more sold on the idea of Matt Rhule running this program than they did before he took that podium.
I totally agree. It mattered. The press conference mattered. I'll tell you who it mattered to. It mattered to Trev Alberts.
Ooh, big time.
Yeah, and you guys might have done what I did. I was watching Trev during the speech, and Trev literally was hanging on every word. I mean, Trev was intense. His face was intense, like, I want this speech to work. That's what his face said.
Well, and compare that to Luke Fickell's speech.
Like, yeah.
I mean, okay.
What would you say about Luke Fickell's speech?
I'll be on the record. I thought Luke Fickell would have been a great coach here too. Like, just because I respected his body of work. But then when you see him present in this same stage, he's more of a Pelini type guy, not real comfortable on the stage, kind of a deer in the headlight, bull in the china shop. Didn't really have in the athletic director. Well, first of all, having Trev be a former TV host, like when he does kind of like the opening speech, like compare him to like iCourst.
Yeah. Trev could host The Price is Right and do very well.
You're right.
He could.
You're right.
He's got that stage presence.
Yeah, he could do it. And he's very charismatic and just thinks quickly. Now, again, what else I'd say about about Rhule is
that's a great line.
Bob Barker was great, but I mean, Trev, if Trev could have inject some humor, which sometimes he tries to. But anyway, Rhule also, now you watch Rhule, okay? Rhule was so good at the podium. Now, all you got to do, it's not hard to project him in a team meeting room, all right? It's not hard to project him in a recruit's living room. I was really struck by it.
CEO.
Oh, God. He's very verbal. He was very prepared. I mean, clearly he prepared for that. I mean, he started it off with
the
stories.
83, 97, or 94 story.
Yeah, he started off with stories about Penn State, Nebraska. I didn't like the mentions of Penn State. Scares me because of, you know, his connection there. But, you know, whatever. And he was so well-versed in a lot of different areas. I was bowled over by it.
It's amazing how it almost didn't happen, though.
It didn't almost happen. It almost didn't happen.
And that was the challenge of covering this thing. And look, we never could get it confirmed on the record that he was in town. I know a lot of users on our message board, other boards, had out there that he was in town. But in terms of how we have to report facts, like, we couldn't get that confirmed. And it probably was a good thing that we didn't put that out there. I mean,
why do you say that?
It might have messed up the process.
Yeah, like, a little bit.
I mean, if we would have reported that Matt Rhule was in town for the Illinois game, like, that he was basically whining and dining coaches while the team was playing a game.
Yeah.
I don't know how well that would have come off. So,
if you're Mickey Joseph, what would you think about that?
Yeah.
So it probably was for the best that nobody was able to confirm or report that news.
Yeah. And, you know, just hearing Matt's side of it too, that the fact that it almost fell through, I think almost sold him more on the idea of the job, to where they had those initial discussions, and because of some contractual holdups, it kind of got derailed there. And he tells a story about when he hung up the phone with Trev, he just thought to himself, damn, Like, damn, I wanted that job. And then Trevor Nebraska called back, and they said, let's figure something out. And Matt said, that's what sold me. Like, that's when I knew for sure. Like, my family already knew. My wife already wanted to come. My kids wanted to come. But I, you know, that's what was the deal sealer for Matt Rhule, was the fact that it almost fell through.
Yeah, his wife, I'm sure, liked that $9 million a year.
Yeah, he's a lot. He's easy to get behind that.
Hey, why didn't you go to Nebraska? I mean,
she wants him to work, too. Like, I don't care who you are. It's not – no one wants it to stay home. Like, when you –
I would say no one.
There are quite a few people that like to do that.
But, you know, if you're at that level, if you're a dog, if you're an alpha, if you're really good at something.
Yeah, a head football coach. Yeah. Like, no, it's not in your DNA.
Right. Like, what if I just said, Sipple, you're done. Stay home and do nothing. You would be – Lori would throw you out.
Yeah, I'd find
– same like Lisa would throw me out of the house.
I'd find something to do.
That's why we have this office. At least gets me out of the house to get away from people for a while.
Yeah, that needs to happen more.
Easy.
But no, it almost didn't happen. That's true. They were. I was kind of surprised how transparent they were about that part. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you covered that part well, Sip. Yeah, you were kind of providing the round by round coverage, and it's not easy for fans to digest that round by round because it was off the table, and you reported that in Tunnel Talk 1 week, and then went back on the table a couple days later.
Yeah, and I did. I was careful. It was almost just a sense I had. The source I had was telling me, no, it's done. It's not going to happen. And I was like, couldn't it come back? I mean, couldn't Nebraska come back to him? And he's like, well, okay, it was a he. yeah, I suppose it could. And then it did. I mean, it wasn't – and then it did. And but it took Ted Carter getting involved. Oh, yeah. I believe that Pillen got involved. I don't mind saying it on
Well, he's a regent.
Yeah, I don't mind saying that on the air. We haven't said a lot. I mean, I did write it in Tunnel Talk for tomorrow. I think they encouraged Trev to do what you have to do here, okay? Do what you have to do.
This notion that you have to be fiscally cheap with Nebraska football, it's over. Stop it. Like, nobody else is cheap. Who's cheap with Nebraska football? The facility's not cheap.
Right.
I mean, the everything about the boosters, the support.
Ticket prices ain't cheap.
The population of our state, under 2 million to have what we have. No one's cheap with this thing.
There's limits, though, I think, to
reason. But why can Ohio State and Michigan spend more than Nebraska? What allows them to spend more?
I'm just saying that you want to operate within reason. And I think they did. What would have been unreasonable, though? What if they paraded him up there and said, we're paying him $11 million? That would have given me pause. Nebraska could pay it. I mean, I'm not saying they can't pay it, but is that making him the highest paid coach in the Big Ten right now? Would that be reasonable to you?
No, you'd have some second guesses.
Yeah,
I mean,
I would second guess
with his track record. Now, I'm sure there's coaches you could justify that with guys that are far more accomplished.
Jim.
Yeah, I mean, but it's a select few. It's a select few, and so is Matt Rhule in that conversation? Probably not.
Would you want him making more than Day and Harbaugh right now? I think that would look odd.
It puts an even bigger microscope on you.
Looks too odd.
But he's at Mel Tucker level money. So, I mean, that's the market. That's where it's going.
Again, Lane Kiffin got that kind of money. I mean, there's a lot of guys.
So like, Stoops.
Yeah, so, I mean, yes, it's top 10, but, you know, top 10 for how long?
This carousel. Not very long. This carousel produced $9 million contracts, period. I mean, exactly. Look at all the guys.
It was the going rate for a top-level coach.
All right, when we come back, let's talk staff. You're listening to the Husker Online Show.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
512 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
Of course, like everybody, it's a lot of money. But, you know, this is what coaches are bringing in these days. And if you want the best, you're going to have to be willing to, put up that kind of money. We're very fortunate that we have a sports program here that can handle that without having to turn that over to the fans, without having to turn that over to the taxpayers. You know, this brand will allow us to do that. And, you know, we paid attention to every level of detail in the contract. That's why this was hard. You know, and building these type of contracts does not happen overnight. It took a number of days. Well, you know, nothing is first try. You know, there's negotiations. So I'll just say that it went back and forth a number of times.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Robin Washett, Steve Sipple. That was Ted Carter breaking down the finances. And, you know, there's always this notion that, oh, these big contracts are going to raise tuition. That's not the case at Nebraska. I mean, Nebraska is fully funded. In fact, they give back $10 million per year from athletics to the school. And our own Steve Rosen in 2019 wrote a great story about that. 4,000 students each year get offered scholarships between $1,500 and $2,500 because of the athletic department's donation. So the athletic department's a huge resource. 15% of the undergraduate student body is on some sort of scholarship from athletics. So this notion that because Matt Rhule got a big contract, our tuition's going to go up, not the case.
Who thinks that, by the way?
People that aren't.
Yes, people that don't follow sports.
Hot takers, Facebook Annies.
Yeah. Facebook Annies.
I just made that up, but it came off well, I thought. Just
I always like, it's like, what do you think the physics professor is thinking when you see these contracts? Like, who cares?
Remember when Joe Burrow blasted the physics professor? That
really?
Was great.
Is it Joe Burrow?
Yeah. Just because the physics professor was complaining about the money of football, and Joe just blasted him.
Yeah, I mean,
the physics professor doesn't bring
stay in your lane, bud.
But anyway, contract $74 million, assistant coach pool $7 million, and I know there's been some debate on this. That also includes the strength coach in there, and I've confirmed that with the university. I know the contract language said $7 million for 10 hires, but the strength coach is in there, so it's $7 million for 11 hires. Six of the 11 hires have been made. The biggest one, Marcus Satterfield, he was making $900,000 at South Carolina. So you have to think Satterfield's going to be like 1-1, 1-2.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. I mean, just considering the higher commitments financially Nebraska's putting in, I mean, we're talking about how head coaching salaries are higher, assistant coach, coordinator salaries are higher.
And, you know, to put it in other terms, Scott Frost's pool was around like 5-1, 5-3. So this is a significantly higher pool. Matt Rhule will get 50 private jet hours of usage as well. Frost had 20 mm-hmm. in his contract just for personal usage, not recruiting.
Oh, personal usage.
Yeah. That was a lucrative perk, I thought, in the contract.
Big time.
Because, I mean, it allows your family or you can use that to fly
it's about
in.
20 trips, right?
Yeah. You figure where we're at, it takes.
Depends where you're going.
10 rounds. Well, you figure like it takes 2 or 3 hours each way
okay.
to go somewhere.
Or
so
10.
Yeah, 10 round trips a year.
That'd be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. You could probably fly in family for every home game. You know, if your wife's family or your family, your cousins live somewhere, hey, we'll pick you up in the jet, fly you all in. Those are some of the other perks in the Rhule contract. But the other hires he's made, and Robin, you can break these down, a lot of younger coaches that you get the sense these aren't going to be high dollar, you know, like night.
Who are we talking?
Let's run down them. Running backs coach, EJ Barthel. Your head strength and conditioning coach is Corey Campbell. Your secondary coach, Evan Cooper. Special teams coordinator, Ed Foley. Defensive line coach, Terrence Porkchop Knighton. I don't think we'll be calling him Porkchop here, but
I thought it was Pot Roast.
Pot Roast, yeah. Porkchop's Corey Ross. Pot Roast. I got my meat selection.
Hey, call him Porkchop and see what happens. See what happens.
I'm not going to call him anything. I'm going to call him
Coach.
Coach Knighton is what I'm going to call him.
Hey, Porkchop.
And then Marcus Satterfield, offensive coordinator. The commonality, every one of those guys has worked with Matt Rhule at multiple stops.
Yep.
Temple, Baylor, Carolina.
Or played for him, too, right?
Yeah, or played for him. So, I mean, a deep-rooted connection with every one of those guys. You can see the familiarity that is already on staff. And, mm-hmm. you know, I know one of the, I guess, after-the-fact criticisms of Frost was he just brought all of his old buddies from UCF in there. I don't think that this is the same thing just because these guys have coached other places. You know, that's not just a bunch of guys that cut their teeth at Central Florida and are jumping to Nebraska. You know, these guys have coached at the Power 5 level. They've coached at Temple. They've coached in the NFL. And so, I mean, I think that's the separator between, you know, the criticisms of Frost and his quote-unquote buddy hires to Matt Rhule's six new hires that all have long histories with him.
I never quite understand these discussions. Don't you usually hire people you're familiar with?
Yeah, but again, sometimes social media and message boards can can criticize strange things.
I just think that's what you do. But anyway, yeah, nothing about the hires jump out at me. I don't have strong opinion on any of it at this point. Satterfield's the one you watch closely, most closely right now.
Ed Foley's an interesting hire because I thought some people looked at him and thought maybe, oh, this is going to be an analyst, but he's going to be one of the full-time 10 guys.
Why did they think analyst?
Older. And he was an assistant special teams coach with the Panthers. He wasn't a full-time position coach. In the NFL, there's two position coaches per position, the head position coach and the assistant position coach. But Ed Foley has been around the block. He's been the interim head coach of Temple twice. So you just don't know. I mean, in that analyst pool that you have, the off-field coach pool, that's fairly significant. And we don't know what that number is, but you've got a lot of money there where you can pay guys like that in the 200s.
Back to Satterfield, I happened to watch him at his probably peak. After the Wisconsin game, you guys remember it was an
Tennessee.
Early game. Yeah, South Carolina, Tennessee. I watched that game in its entirety, and I was struck by – I mean, South Carolina gained 600 yards that night.
Just boat raced him.
Yeah, South Carolina gained 600. Spencer Rattler threw six touchdown passes that night. Now, they aired it out, and people don't like those numbers – that they were very low in the SEC. The Gamecocks were low in the SEC in rushing, high in passing. I don't know. You guys can say, Sip, you're just an old man and you sound more like it every day. Analytics, I get it. I mean, they can be important. But, like, I just don't take them and say, okay, this is what defines him, is because if you did that to Whipple this year, you would not, and you just looked at the analytics and didn't delve into anything, you wouldn't know what kind of the offensive line he was dealing with. Now, I don't know what Satterfield is dealing with. I think in 2021, he was dealing with four different quarterbacks. So that's gonna affect your numbers. I just know this. I like what their offense looked like that night. It was very dynamic.
Well, those last two nights, 94 points and 1,008 total yards of offense against back-to-back top 10 rated teams.
Tennessee and Clemson. I mean, that's pretty good.
I mean, yes, you look at their overall body of work, but that little two-game window was pretty dang impressive.
Yeah. And Satterfield and Shane Beamer are really close. They were in each other's wedding, what Chris Clark told me from Gamecock Central and On Three. So for him to leave somebody that he's that close to go work with Rule again, it kind of tells you, what he thinks. And I think, like any time a hire like this is made, you think stability. Like, hey, we can be – I mean, and let's face it, coaching stability is hard. But this Rule contract, I mean, there's no such thing as a stable contract. But this is a fairly stable contract just with the financial terms of it. So if you can get your family somewhere for a long time, that's a win in this coaching industry.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So now the two – or I guess there's some more winning spots. But for me – D coordinator and O-line coach. Those are the two big ones. That's what I want to know.
And will Donovan Raiola be retained? That's a big question, and we'll probably learn that hopefully here soon.
He's in that hunt.
Probably the only one left.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that like a lot of these guys are done.
There's a tight ends coach now.
Yeah. You don't know about Satterfield. Donovan. Yeah. You don't know about Donovan because Donovan is still in the hunt. That's what I'm saying.
All right. When we come back, we'll take questions in the mailbag. You're listening to the Husker Online Show.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
I called all the commits right off the bat. Just let them know, number one, obviously that first question is always, hey, you're going to honor my commitment. Now, some guys have some other things, going, too. So, we're going to recruit those guys. We're going to be really aggressive here, recruiting-wise, getting out there and trying to just bolster the class and get as much talent here as we can.
And welcome back here to the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Robin Washett, Steve Sipple. As time for the mailbag, and it's been a busy week. Everyone's got lots of questions. Abby Barmore joining us. I know you're in the midst of your volleyball big games this weekend. Abby, what do you got to start us off in the mailbag?
All right, our first one. Which one of the coaches that Nebraska announced today, out of the six, which one are you most excited about?
Good question. Barthol really intrigues me.
Oh, you took mine. Okay, keep going. Why?
The way Jim Mora publicly endorsed him, tells you what he thought, because sometimes you get maybe hurt when you lose a coach, and he was very happy and publicly praised him, and they were playing with their third, fourth, and fifth string running backs, and they still got great production. So EJ Barthol.
I like that one. I just want to continue on that one. I'm sorry. I like Barthol. The numbers, his numbers at the UConn's rushing numbers increased dramatically from last year. Now he's interesting because he's still pretty young in the profession. He hasn't coached at this level. But yeah, the numbers are what intrigues me. And I think also what Morris said about him, he was a guy who was really beset by injuries as a player. So I think, and he still was pretty good, but he can help guys through that sort of thing. I'll tell you what, though, none of the hires really are overwhelmingly strong. I mean, they're fine, but none of the hires to this point are overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, there's not been one like Nat. I mean, Satterfield leaving South Carolina gets your attention.
It does.
Because of it's a sitting SEC coordinator, but this is not like a huge, you know, they haven't pulled that big cherry on top name yet, as of taping time. Mm-hmm.
So I guess with that, I'll say Satterfield, just because I'm curious what Nebraska's going to get. Are they going to get the guy that lit the world on fire with the last two games of the season at South Carolina, or are they going to get the guy that was about to get chased out of town by South Carolina fans with before how much that offense had struggled? Yeah. So a very mixed bag from him last season. What is that picture going to look like for Nebraska's offense, here as opposed to South Carolina?
Mm-hmm. I know it's really early and there's a lot of pieces still to be added, but people want to know, what are some reasonable expectations for year one under Matt Rhule?
I mean, I think just starting with getting to a bowl game, and it should have happened this year in 2022. I mean, they shouldn't have lost to Georgia Southern. They shouldn't have lost to Northwestern. So we're at five wins right there. And between Minnesota and Wisconsin, you know, they could have won a lot of those games. I mean, so can Matt Rhule get Nebraska to six wins? I mean, I think that would be a really, really good start. But we don't know what this team's going to look like, guys, until the portal stuff shakes itself out of things.
Yeah, I mean, they don't even have full staff. You don't know what the portal situation is. You don't even know who the quarterback's going to be. I mean, there's too many unknowns to have a firm grasp of what a realistic expectation is. But I will say, it's Nebraska. It's time where we need to get back to going to a bowl needs to be the expectation.
You know what? We have a little disagreement here between Rob and Sean and me. I don't know. I'm not putting that expectation out there. When I don't know the roster, it could be something like what he experienced at Temple.
I mean, Kansas
or
went
Baylor.
To a bowl.
I don't care. I mean, he might, but I want to see what the quarterback position looks like. I want to see what a lot looks like. We're already hearing names that could be leaving that would decimate.
I don't know. $72 million is...
I
think you should expect at least a 500 record.
I don't. I strongly disagree with you.
Yeah,
on that.
His year ones have been rough everywhere.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, don't know why you would put that expectation on him in year one.
I don't know, man. Because it's the portal era. His last two stops, they didn't have the transfer portal.
It's true.
You can
That's
get
fair.
Good
That's
very
fair.
Quickly.
Not on the lines, though, as we've learned.
Yeah, apparently.
I mean, I just think there's... No.
I'm not saying it's end-all, be-all, but I think that, you know, for the amount of commitment Nebraska's making into this hire and the modern age of how you can build a roster in one offseason, six wins is not like some insurmountable task, especially with the way the Big Ten is right now. Like, it's open.
I just hate to – I mean, I think that sort of attitude we've had here has been detrimental.
Six wins, though, is not a –
Yeah,
unrealistic.
God, I'm not like saying win the Big Ten here.
Not saying win nine.
Go to the.
I mean, we're keeping a basketball. We're keeping a basketball coach around who's 9-50 in the Big Ten.
That's football. He's not making $72 million.
Seventy-four.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I want to undersell him.
I don't know. The money doesn't do it. I mean, I don't use that as a reason for anything. I mean, if he was making $50 million, would you say okay? No need to win six. I mean, I don't know why that applies in the discussion, but we can disagree. Mm-hmm. I strongly disagree.
All right, what do you got next,
Okay,
Abby?
Next. What is the timeline on the defensive coordinator announcement, and who are the top candidates?
Great questions. We thought Phil Snow. It doesn't seem – I mean, if it was Phil Snow, you'd think that would be done by now. So it doesn't feel like it's going to be Phil Snow, who's been kind of the guy for Rhule his entire career. You hear Jeff Collins' name.
Yes.
Georgia Tech former head coach.
That's the one I think has the most steam.
They work together at Western Carolina. That's their connection, 02 to 05. But Jeff Collins replaced Rhule at Temple as the head coach. So there is that common link with those two guys too. But then there's a lot of wild card names. And, you know, I guess which wild card is it going to be is the question.
Yeah. Mike Seravo was a name that's been thrown out. He was the defensive run game coordinator and a senior defensive assistant linebackers coach for the Panthers under Rule. He's currently still there. His name had been thrown out there. Seems like maybe some steam's cooling off on that one. But again, it's another one of those potential names that you would think if that was the guy, it would have picked up a lot more traction by now.
All right, Abby, what do you got next?
There hasn't been a ton of Nebraska players hit the portal yet. When do you think that news is going to start ramping up?
Monday. I mean, I think you're going to get the mass entry date Monday. You're kind of getting some of the pre-pass entries in now where people are announcing it. And we might see some pre-entries go in because, you know, it does, honestly, if you know you're going in, you can kind of pre-announce it. And, you know, some of these
how do they pre-announce it?
They just say, I plan to enter the portal on December 5th.
Yeah, because you're officially not in the portal because the portal's not open.
So Nebraska's made two portal offers already. Ajane Cornelius from Rhode Island, an offensive lineman, who's got like 20 offers now. And then Xavier Gilroy from Idaho State. He's also got over 20 offers.
What's he play?
Receiver. So they've made a receiver and an O-line FCS portal offer, but like 20 teams have on these guys. And, you know, these two young men, I think, were smart to put themselves out there early because, you know, they're kind of jumping the line at least to get evaluated. Because, man, December 5th, you understand how much evaluation you're going to have to do that day?
Don't you think a lot of coaches already know who's going in the portal?
Yeah.
And there's been contact?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
They're handlers. They're high school coaches.
Yeah, there's people you can talk to that aren't committing violations.
So I want to make this
figure
clear.
That stuff out.
Yeah, I want to make this clear to the listeners, Sean. I think we portray it sometimes like, okay, Monday the portal opens and the coaches are going to be sitting there going, oh, look at this, and look at this. Maybe there's some of that, but I think a lot of there's zero people already.
But maybe a high-profile guy that you didn't know about that wasn't on your radar goes in from Nebraska, let's say, and all of a sudden Alabama's like, wait a minute, that guy's in there from Nebraska. We're interested in that guy. Like more teams will be. Once you go truly public, more teams get interested.
I wonder how many guys on Nebraska roster that Alabama would be interested in. That's a fair question.
The punter.
A.J. Allen.
All right, final question, Abby.
In this past week, where does that rank for the most chaotic week of covering Husker football?
For me, it's probably up there at the top because I had to do all the high school football games on Monday and Tuesday. And we had to manage shows and we had to run speaking events. So, and do Big Red Wrap Up. So Monday through Wednesday, I did four high school football games, covered the regular week of practice, did speaking events, did a Big Red Wrap Up. And then we had to go to Iowa City and have Thanksgiving, cover the game, and then drive back after the game to get up right away in the morning. And I think that was the hardest part, guys, having to drive back and getting back at about 2 a.m, then getting back up around 7 to get working on the Rule stuff that day.
Yeah, and I know with you being committed to high school football, Sipple and I had to do a lot of the day-to-day stuff, which was fine.
It was just one day of access.
But then you throw in 3 basketball games in 4 days, including covering one in the car from your back seat on the way out to Iowa City.
That's right.
Yeah, there's just a lot on the plate.
Half time at a truck stop.
You know, I'll go back. There was a better time.
A better time.
Yeah, like when there was good news happening, and it was crazy in late 2001 when all this stuff was unfolding for Nebraska to go to the national title game. It was crazy.
And then Crouch was the Heisman too.
Yeah, Crouch was Heisman. So that was a crazy like 3 or 4 days. I remember being sort of overwhelmed.
But you didn't have to do live social media
reporting.
No, there
wasn't as much as that, but it, just keeping up with everything was pretty crazy. And guys, we're talking about going to the national title type situation here. I mean, it was really exciting, but I mean, it's hard to even imagine that right now, by the way. But yeah, that's what I always remember as being really hectic and having to stay on top of everything all the time.
You ever wonder if they would have went to the Sugar Bowl like they were going to go to play Illinois? Because how different things could have maybe have been? So like they went to play Miami and they were not equipped to play Miami.
No.
Kyle Cole Morgan, our friend, he said literally after about one series, he just said, we're screwed. like the team came back. He's like, yeah, we can't play these guys.
It was one of the few times that Frank ever said to me, and it was like in an off-the-record setting, this is really tough. I mean, he said, this is not.
After the game, he said,
no, it was before the game. I mean, it was. He was like, this is really tough.
You remember Dan Le Batard?
Yeah. Yeah, Dan.
He's a University of Miami grad, and we were at this pre-party, Keyshawn Johnson's party with Shelly Smith.
Yeah.
And I was young. I was like young Grant Hansen, not Hansen, trying to talk to Dan Le Batard. And he looks at me and he goes, kid, do you really think Nebraska has an effing chance in this game? You're freaking, cutting out the language. He said, they're going to get smoked.
Yeah. It was pretty evident. Yeah. Well, it was one of the better teams to ever.
Yeah, I mean, that 0-1 Miami team was literally like first round draft picks at every position.
Rip some off.
Clinton Portis, Frank Gore,
Jeremy Shockey,
Andre Johnson, Mount McKinney. Jeremy Shockey, was Kellen Winslow on that? Kellen Winslow Jr.
Yes,
he was on that team. Jonathan Vilma, Vince Wilfork, Ed
Rob.
Reed.
Look at Rob. Go.
I mean, just go.
Look at
go
Rob.
Down.
Go.
Dude, that team was awesome.
That was very strong.
That was probably the first team.
You can keep going.
Probably good.
Between that Miami
Clinton
team,
Clinton Portis. Did you say him?
Oh yeah.
Okay,
between that Miami team and USC with Carroll, like that's when like the pro influence took over college football. From that point on, a pro roster building mindset took over college football at the top.
Was Santana Moss on that team?
Ooh,
or was
yes.
it Sonoris Moss? There's two Mosses, both played in the NFL. Either way,
yeah.
Point made.
Yeah,
really freaky team.
Unbelievable.
That play, I'll never forget when Ben Zajcek got smoked on was it kick coverage? And he was.
Oh, yes, that was Vilma. Vilma almost killed him on the field. That was terrible.
And, like, in the locker room, I think, after the game, like, he didn't know where he was at still.
You know what I remember was sad, and this is – Abby shouldn't almost not even hear this. I didn't watch the second half because it was over, and we had horrible deadlines. And I never saw the second half. To this day, I don't know what happened in the second half. I mean, I would glance up to make sure Nebraska wasn't making a comeback, so I would have to rearrange my story. But to this day, I would tell you I never saw the second.
There was so much media there, too. Like, I sat outside for that game. Did you sit outside? Like, it was like an outside.
No, I was inside.
Kevin Kugler and I, we sat outside in the outside press box.
It's gorgeous, though, wasn't it?
Oh, God.
God, it's breathtaking.
Yeah.
Breathtaking. The Rose Bowl's breathtaking.
We got to cover it at least once. So, well, yeah. Hey, when we come back, we'll close the show. We're going to have some final thoughts on the Big Ten, the All-Big Ten teams, and the championship game. You're listening to the Husker Online Show.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
I would say I've never gone into a job with a closer relationship with someone than I have with Trev because we've gone through all these hard conversations. This hasn't been just like, hey, why don't you be the coach? Yeah, great. We've had to have these conversations. And what I found is Trev is really creative. You know, he's not going to just take the first no. He's going to find a way around things. And as I said, you know, we have a lot of respect for Admiral Carter. We've known him for several years. When he was involved and Trev was involved, it just made us feel better about, you know what, there's going to be hard times, right? I mean, dealing with NIL, transfer, all these things, we're coming to work for people that are problem solvers, not just, oh, we couldn't get it done.
And welcome back here to the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washut. Final segment. Great show, guys. That was Matt Rhule talking about Trev Albert's persistence. And you think about Trev, guys, and what he's done. I mean, he got Dean Blaze to go to UNO. When he told Trev no multiple times, he was able to build that. I mean, think about building Baxter Arena at UNO. I mean, or Anderson Field, the baseball fields there. I mean, just some of the things that he was involved with there at UNO. I grew up in Omaha. UNO was kind of just looked at as like metro community. I mean, just didn't really feel like a Division I school. Mm-hmm. And he made UNO a Division I school with his visions and his persistence. And clearly, he used that same vision and persistence to get Matt Rhule to tell him yes after almost being told no multiple times.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it really hits you. We always talk about the stress of a coaching search, and it's usually men's basketball or football that creates stress for us. Can you imagine a stress on Trev? I mean, as portrayed by the principals in this, it was a stressful run. Now, can you imagine if it would have fallen apart with Rhule at the last minute? If that on Black Friday.
Then it would have gone to Fickell, you think, or Lance Leipold, if you had to guess.
I don't know, Sean. I guess if I'm guessing, I think it was down to three. I believed it was down to Rhule, Lance, and Doran.
With Fickell not in the discussion.
With Fickell close in there, but... Going back to last Wednesday afternoon, the Wednesday before Black Friday, we talked about it on this show. I mean, I got that call from a source that said it's Rhule. Rhule's got to make a decision. So that was right. He was making a decision at that point. And the source said there's three. And one was definitely Leipold, but we didn't know who the third was. Now, that source thought it was Doran. So that's what I believe. But I think Fickell must have been in there. And Kleiman must have been close in there. But I'd say the final three, I believe, were Rhule, Leipold, Doran. That's what I believe.
All right, let's talk recruiting now, because that's what's going to be going on this weekend. The coaches will be going out on the road to see recruits, trying to lock up their guys. They're going to, and we reported this on Husker Online, they're going to be hosting a junior day on Sunday.
Whoa.
So for the 2024 and 2025 in-state players that have offers, they will be on campus, like Caleb Benning, Tyson Terry at Omaha North, those types of kids will be here Sunday. So we'll have coverage of that. But the big news, Malachi Coleman announces decommitment, and he was highly connected to Mickey Joseph. And if you remember, I asked the question when Malachi committed about, you know, what if Mickey's not a part of this? And Malachi confidently said, Mickey's going to be a part of this. I know that. He told me that. Mm-hmm. Well, now Mickey's not a part of it, and Malachi has reopened his commitment or recruiting process. Malachi can also hold out. He doesn't have to sign in December. He's not going to early enroll, so he could honestly be a free agent all the way till February.
Does he strike you as the guy that would prefer that route to just kind of see what his options? Because remember, there was all those rumors about him taking visits, even though he was like well in line to commit to Nebraska in the first place. Like, it just seems like he is a guy that enjoys the process. And do you think that he might want to extend that, you know, as a four-star, number one player in the state, maybe lean towards drawing this thing out as long as potentially possible?
It's hard to say. You know, I think he wants to probably feel the love of the recruiting process, get a feel for the staff. Like right now, who's the wide receivers coach?
Yeah.
We don't know.
That's a problem.
Like, seriously, we don't know. Like, here we are. I mean, because we thought we knew, and he's somewhere else right now. So, you know, there's a lot. And Omarion Miller, you know, he's a receiver committed to Mickey Joseph from Louisiana. You know, William Watson, who is a quarterback. And I gave a prediction this week in 3-2-1 that a new quarterback will emerge on the radar for 2023 in this class.
Do you care to say who you think that is?
There's a couple, but Lincoln Kuholt or Ken Holtz from South Dakota.
Lincoln?
He's related to the Housemans, and he's from Pierre, South Dakota.
Which Housemans?
All of them.
Well,
they're all related.
Name one.
Joey.
But Joey's not related to Ernest.
Yeah, they're cousins.
Oh.
Bob Housman's Joey's cousin. But the boys, Ashton, Kiffin, or Ashton, Ernest, you know, there's three Housemans on the Husker team that are technically related. And, you know, I think Nash Huttmacher knows Lincoln Kuhnholtz pretty well, too. So that's a guy to watch.
Lincoln Kuhnholtz.
Obviously, Zane Flores. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that's worth watching.
Yeah. Hey, Malachi Coleman, why is he not an early enrollee?
He wants to take part in track.
Okay. Because he was beaten in the state.
Yeah, and he wants another run at Jalen Lloyd.
Okay,
who won the 100?
Okay,
who just got a Nebraska?
He just got a Nebraska offer.
Omaha West Side.
Another one for Mickey though is Barry Jackson. You know, what's he going to do? That was a straight up Mickey guy. Yeah. You know, and Mickey went down and watched him play on the bye week. I'm curious about Ben Bramer too.
Oh, you are.
What's going to happen there? He's not going to visit Lincoln next weekend.
Iowa State's all over him.
Yeah, the other recruits are all going to visit next weekend. Ben Bramer's not one of them.
Ooh, that's tough. You liked Bramer, didn't you?
Oh, he looked really good in the championship.
He was a stud in the title game.
So Iowa tried to get Ben Bramer, but they really connected with Matt Campbell. So I think it's going to be a priority for them to get that jet up to Pierce, Nebraska. They got to get up there right away.
Did you take the jet up there?
You don't drive. You can't put
50 hours.
No, those are personal hours.
Oh, there you go.
The recruiting hours don't count on that, man.
You can land a plane up there somewhere?
You land it in Norfolk.
Okay.
And then you take a car to Pierce.
Okay.
That's my guess.
I just want to see the countryside, I think.
But when you're Matt Rhule, do you have 3 hours to drive?
Probably not.
Do you
have that time?
No, probably not.
I don't know if it's three.
No, not three to Pierce.
225 probably?
I think you get there in two, Sean. I think you can get there in two.
You know who's one of the assistants at Pierce? Tyler Legate.
Is that right?
Former Husker fullback. Yeah. He's married to my cousin.
Nice. Jeez.
I know.
Everybody's related around here.
Distant cousin.
Small town.
We live in a big small town. Yep. It's called Nebraska. But guys, fun show. We'll have lots of coverage. What are you writing for Sunday, Sip?
Don't know yet.
What's the 13?
Am I writing for Sunday?
Oh, better be.
What's your 13?
I might do the.
That's I tried to I tee do. That up.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Trev on Monday said he interacted with 13 coaches. Now, I took that to mean those were 13 candidates, potential, or at least potential candidates. And if you do this exercise, you can do it. In fact, I kind of started it in Tunnel Talk a little bit. You can get to 10 for sures that he contacted. Now, after that, it gets a little dicey. But I might play it that way for Sunday.
All right, well, look
for different ways to go on Sunday.
Make sure you get on Husker Online. We've had record traffic numbers all week. It's been you kind of a place where you don't want to be. Everyone's staying logged on and they're clicking on everything because there's been a lot of news to follow. So we got a great special. $25 gets you access to the site until August 31st of next year.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.